So the title of our devotion today is "You Want to Be a Influencer or a Celebrity Artist," right?
Yes.
We are inundated day in and day out by opinions of various people, both online and offline too. And it seems to be the day that we live in. So our text for today is in Exodus chapter 31 and verse 3. I think it's going to show up. Yeah, it does. Right. There we go. "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship." Exodus chapter 31 and verse 3. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for giving us this time to be able to delve into your word. I pray, Lord, that you'd hide me behind your cross. And Lord, that you would speak to each one of us according to the needs of our life. We commit ourselves this morning time into your hands and offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So a little bit of background about what's going on here. So Moses has led the people of Israel out of Egypt, okay? And they have come into the wilderness, and Moses has gone up to meet God on Mount Sinai. He has the Ten Commandments in his hand, and God is telling him few other pieces of instructions. Things like how to construct the tent of the meeting, right? And the Ark of the Covenant, the big wooden box, God's telling him how to construct that. And then God's also telling him and giving him things like formulas, recipes for incense, how to make them and so on. And then also the details about all the furnishings that he wants to be done. And then we get into Exodus chapter 31. So we'll start with just a few verses in Exodus chapter 31. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. Starting at verse 1 here, "The Lord said to Moses," there we go, "see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship." Verse 4, "to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze," verse 5, "in cutting jewels, or for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship."
Yes.
Okay? So that's the context for which we saw our verse in. So God is looking for somebody that he can use on his behalf. And we see the individual being listed here as Bezalel. So I had to look up exactly the Hebrew word. It's actually pronounced Bezalel. That's the actual Hebrew word, right? So we know him as Bezalel. So Bezalel is going to basically be an artisan that's going to carve wood, right? And also be good at metalwork, carving. That's basically his gifting that God has poured out into his life. Now, names are a pretty big deal in Eastern cultures. So if you are named Bigfoot, it actually means you have big feet. That's what it means. Bigfoot means you got big feet, right? Imagine if you had a name such as, and you know this, "He Who Causes Much Sorrow." Or in our day's language, it'll be like, "He's a pain in the rear." We know him as Jabez or Yabez. Yabez was basically, "Hey, look at that. That pain in the rear is coming around the corner." That's Jabez for you. Imagine that name. Walking around all day, right? So names are a big deal. My name, Raj Kumar, means what? Raj means king. Kumar means son of a king. And so it means prince, basically. And so I did have a teacher, actually, when I was younger, who called me, didn't want to call me by the Indian name that I have, called me prince all the time. Lena's Indian name means motherly love. Karishma means miracle. And we actually named her because it was a miracle of birth. And that's how we get it. Nick is not Nicholas. Nick means Nikhil, which means we got that from James chapter 1. You will be complete or whole in Christ. And that was our prayer for this boy. We want him to be complete in Christ Jesus. So names have meanings and are a big deal. So here in Exodus 31, God picks somebody whose name meant that he is going to be in the shadow of God or always under the protection of God. That's what Bezalel means. Under the shadow or protection of God. And God tells Moses he's going to use Bezalel as a skilled worker. Right? But a few things must happen first. And that's what we're going to see in verse 3. There are five things that we're going to look at. I'm going to list them now. They're going to start showing up here. There are five things that have to happen to Bezalel before God can even use him. And those are the things that are listed there. What are the five qualities? Number one, God has filled him with the Holy Spirit. Number one. Actually, number zero is what? God picked Bezalel. Right? We saw that. He told Moses, I have chosen Bezalel. That's number zero, the first starting point. And then number one is what? God has filled him with the Holy Spirit. Number two, God has filled him with wisdom, right? Number three, God has filled him with understanding. And we're going to actually use the Bible to define these words. Not the dictionary. We're going to go in Scripture and see what exactly does that mean.
Yes.
Okay? Number four, God has filled him with knowledge. What does that mean? How is that different from the other two? We're going to see that. Number five, God has given him the skills or abilities to be a carpenter or a woodworker and a skilled metal worker.
Yes.
Right? Now the first three, if you go to the next slide there, I've colored in red.
Yes.
Okay? Red, white, and blue, we like that. So there you go. There's red right there. Okay? And those are what I call spiritual characteristics in nature. Okay? The last two are abilities, mental and physical. They're colored in blue right there. The last two ones can be innate, so we can be born with those. Right? Some of us are musicians. We don't have to learn. Some of us just happens. I had to learn. Mikhaeus, he was just born with a cello when he came out. Neri. He was just born with all three, the guitar, the drums, and the piano. He can play all three. So some of us are born, but some of us can acquire the skills by training. Yeah, that's true. So that's why I say the last two are a little different from the first three. Okay? But at the end of the day, when all five of them line up, God is able to use our skills for his glory. Which is very different from if you look at the title was what? You want to be an influencer or celebrity artist, right? Think of a non-Christian. Think of your non-Christian most favorite movie star or musician, right? What do you find? They have very good qualities. They have innate abilities to act or sing. And they do a great job. They entertain us. We laugh and we clap and then we cry. We dance to a song, right? But then after that, finished, empty. We got to go back again to fill ourselves. And again. And it goes on. And there's a sequel and a trequel and a fivequel, right? Hollywood. They keep on making the same thing. Now, if you were to live by the style of the movie or the lyrics of the songs, where do you think that's going to end up? It is going to have an eternal value for sure. A negative eternal value. Right? You need to sing and listen to some of those songs. Non-Christian, I'm saying. Not Caleb. Yeah. They will end us in eternal, we call it H-E-L-L.
Amen. Right?
If we live like that, according to the movies. Because
yes.
The movies always portray, for the most part, always something dark and dangerous and bad. And then, of course, there's the redemption story. They always rip off the gospel, right? There's always something bad, and then you have to redeem it. Otherwise, well, it's a European movie, always downhill. Hollywood is a little more positive. So God picked Bezalel to be an artist and influencer. You know, one something very interesting. Nothing has changed since the dawn of time. Ever since Chen Yi came to our fellowship, she's actually an opera student. I have never in my life been to an opera. Never. I knew the word. I knew the dictionary meaning of what an opera is. To me, it was people in strange clothes, not modern clothes, singing in a European language. And it seemed to me, what in the world is going on? I've never been to one. And this past spring was my first in my entire life, 50 years plus, I went to an opera showing at Nichols. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, I won't be able to understand Italian or anything like that. But the opera producer very kindly in the program sheet had listed the meaning of the song that they're going to portray. It's in a different language that I don't know. But then in English, they translated. And then I sat down, the curtains came up, and then there you go. And you see it being played out in song. And I could understand because the English was there. And then it hit me. Oh, it's nothing but a Hollywood movie and a music video slammed together before we invented celluloid. That's all it is. Yeah. So Mario and Luigi are doing their usual thing. They're getting a car, they're going robbing a bank, and they kill somebody over here. I don't know anybody else in Italian. Mario and Luigi are the only one. That's why I picked it, okay? So yeah, so they're going over here, and then you got some adultery going on, and some debauchery. It's the same thing. Celebrity influencer. If you live like the opera, well, I'm going to die like the opera, right?
Yes.
I love it now. It's okay, it's the same thing. It's no different. We haven't changed a bit. But there is hope, right? What did Bezalel have? God, number one, the first point that we have is God has filled him with the Holy Spirit. What I'm going to do is we're going to take those five things, all five points. I'm going to overlay that, the Old Testament. I'm going to put that over the New Testament. And you're going to see, and I'm going to present to you how those five points are absolutely, starkly visible throughout Scripture, especially in the New Testament. So first question, how does one get filled with the Holy Spirit? John's Gospel, chapter 7, starting at verse 38. John's Gospel, chapter 7, starting at verse 38. There we go. Whoever believes in me, this is Jesus speaking, by the way, whoever believes in me, as the scripture, as the Old Testament has said, rivers of living water will flow out from within them. What are you talking about, Jesus? Water is going to come out of me? And John says, wait, let me explain this. So John is writing, verse 39, by this Jesus meant what? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive, because up to, and then this is parenthesis, so John is explaining himself. He's saying, up to this point, the Holy Spirit was not yet given, since Jesus has not yet been glorified. So what he's trying to say is, when Jesus said this, now remember, John is writing this after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, ascension, right? And then John then is now recalling all that Jesus said and did. And so in hindsight, he's writing, oh, I remember Jesus saying that if we believe in him, out of our bellies, I like the King James Version, out of his bellies will flow rivers of living water, right? And by this, he meant the Holy Spirit. John even explains. But it hadn't yet come because he hadn't yet died, because he hadn't yet rose again, and Pentecost hadn't yet happened. What is Pentecost? So Jesus rose again. That's Resurrection Sunday or Easter, right? And then for 40 days, he lived in a glorified body. A body that could walk through the door. Imagine that. Doors are locked. Psh, just comes right through. A door cannot stop this body. Walking on the road to Emmaus, yeah, with the two disciples. What happened? He shows up and then poof, disappears. Their eyes were open when he prayed over the meal, and then boom, he was gone. And they ran back to Jerusalem. That kind of a body. Imagine that. Why? Because the Bible says he showed his disciples what the kingdom of God is going to be like 40 days after resurrection. And then he's taken up. And then 10 days later, Pentecost, boom, the Holy Spirit comes into the disciples. And they start translating everything from Cajun French to Italian. Yeah, they had the ability to speak in a different language. Why was that given? The gospel should go forward to all the places. A couple of his disciples, the 12, of the 12, Thomas is said to have come to India and died in India. Nita. You know who she is? A descendant of the original Thomas disciples. She's a Marthomite. Nita? Yeah, they trace the lineage back all the way to the original disciples of Thomas. Yeah, so there we go. So we have that. So John is talking about how the Spirit is God, right? So what is the qualifier? We first have to believe in Jesus and what he's done for us.
Yes.
Right? The Bible says these events are yet to come. What events? Why do we need to believe in Jesus, you might ask? Well, there is coming a judgment day when everyone is going to stand before our Creator individually to be judged for our thoughts and deeds. And you might say, well, I'm a pretty good guy, I'm a pretty good gal. The Bible has a solution for that too. If you have your Bible, the next verse there, Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 talks about how good our good deeds are. What does it say there? All of us have become like one who is unclean. Right? And all of our righteous good deeds are like filthy rags. And then what happens? We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. What in the world is Isaiah talking about? On that day, if we come before God after we die and present ourselves, God, I did this. Here's my list of 100 things I did every day of my life. All my good deeds. And Isaiah says, you think that's good? It's actually a crude word. The word filthy rags there is menstrual cloth. How about that? Isaiah went there. That's right. And he said, that's how your good deeds are.
Amen.
They're filthy.
Amen.
Worth nothing.
Amen.
Worth nothing. And then what happens? Our righteousness shrivels up like a dried leaf and it's gone. And that's why we have to agree with God. What? That, yes, I'm a sinner. There's no hope for me, God. I'm wretched. Absolutely. I do accept, I believe, God, that your son Jesus died on the cross as a penalty for my price, my place. Only then can God forgive me. And the bar for being a Christian is so low, very low. Two things. You have to have breadth. You can't become a Christian after you die.
Amen.
Can't. It's interesting. There are no atheists in hell. They're all believers. Every one of them. Yeah, believers in hell. That's right. The Bible says so. Why? Because you come to judgment. All the leaves of our sins, right? Filthy rags, they shrivel up. Blown away. You're standing, you believe in God because you see him, and God says, okay, you picked hell, now off you go. So you're a believer in hell. See how that works? No atheists. No, they believe. 100%.
Amen.
So what is the... What kind of bar do we have? A pulse. First thing, you have to live. Can't believe in God afterwards. You will see Him. So there is no faith involved. Number two, we have to agree with God. That's the hard part. We have to agree that we cannot do it on our own.
Yes.
We have to accept Jesus' sacrifice by faith. God said so. Yes, God, I believe I cannot do it on my own. None of my works will work. Believe on the Lord Jesus today, right? And His death on our behalf. Agree that we are sinners in need of being saved from judgment. And that's where Bezalel was. Bezalel believed in God. And God filled him with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So as believers in Jesus, God promises to fill us with the Holy Spirit when we believe. But there is one problem. We have baggage. And Paul talks about that. There's a problem. And that's in Philippians, our next verse here, chapter 3, and verse starting at verse 7. And this is Paul talking, okay? Look at what he says here. Whatever were gains to me, profit to me, right? I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage. Look at that word right there. That I may gain Christ. Verse 9. And be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. What's Paul talking about here? Paul is addressing a problem in his own life, and he's explaining, you also have that problem. Now, in the previous few verses, we're not going to go there, I'm just going to summarize what he said. He said, I have a pedigree. You know what I mean? Pedigree or a accomplishment list, like a resume, a CV. When you're trying to apply for a job, regardless of nowadays, we don't print it out on a piece of paper. We just go online and you fill it out, right? At Walmart or Rouse's or anywhere else that you want to get a job, you have to fill out, what are your qualifications? Have you passed high school? Have you passed college? Or what kind of certifications you have to make you qualify? And Paul says, I have a lot of qualifications. I am a fabulous Jew of the tribe of Benjamin. A flawless Pharisee, he said. I went to the University of Gamaliel. That's kind of like the Ivy League today. Which is not very valuable, by the way. But anyway, that's different. But that's what he went. He went to an Ivy League school. Gamaliel, the top-notch school. Yeah. And then what does he say? All of this accomplishment that I have, I count it as, he used the word, if you go back to the original Greek, dung. That's what he said. He went there. That's right. Cow pie. No, not beef stroganoff in the pot. No, cow pie that you get in the field. Yeah, that's what he said. That's what it is. All of my resume, my education, my accomplishments, my breeding, my family line is dung, is what he said. So we have a problem. God wants to fill us with His Holy Spirit, but I have a water bottle that's already full. Benjamin, Gamaliel University, right? Pharisee, it's full. How do we do that? The dung, what do you do with a water bottle full of dung? Can you fill it up with water? Yeah, all right. Would you drink out of it though? Well, maybe if you keep on filling it and then all the dung goes out, 100 times you wash the bottle and you fill it with water and now you say, where that what it had? It had, it's a dung water bottle, and then now it's got water, and then you want me to drink out of it? I'd rather be thirsty and die. Dung water bottle. What does the Bible say? So the Bible just doesn't fill the dung water bottle. Let's really see. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26. God solved the problem of our dung water bottles. What's the dung water bottle? 36, 26. I will give you a brand new water bottle. Brand new heart. And put brand new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart the dung water bottle. Now would you drink? Yes, you would. And give you a heart of flesh that will respond to his spirit. So we have to have a heart transplant. This dung water bottle has to be gone before Bezalel can even get the Holy Spirit. See that? The same God yesterday, today, and forever. But wait, there's more. You say there's more? Yes. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. This is the covenant that I will make with the people of Israel. Okay? After that time, declares the Lord. Now put that in red. After what time, you say? We will answer that in just a second. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. What time were all of these prophets looking forward to? The time of redemption, Jesus. They were all looking forward to, when can we get rid of the dung water bottle? Until Jesus came, they couldn't. When he came, this we saw, whoever believes in me, out of his belly is not going to flow dung, is going to flow rivers of living water. Why? Because you believe and God gives you a brand new heart, new spirit, and it's going to multiply out of your belly. That's what Jeremiah was waiting for. He was waiting for Jesus, because Jesus paves the way for even the possibility of what we just talked about. A new heart and a new spirit already pre-programmed. What does that mean? Because what does Jeremiah say? He said, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. That means the new water bottle already comes in with operating instructions. How does that work? Very easy. And you know that, you've experienced it. When you do something that is contrary to God, what happens? You don't need to go to a book to see the list of 10 did I disobey. The Spirit immediately pricks. Conviction is the word. That's right. Why? Because what I'm doing is contrary to the laws that Jeremiah is talking about, written already in my new heart.
Amen.
And then if I keep going down that road, I am a miserable guy. Until I fix that. Why? Not happy, because I am a child of God now. I accepted Jesus as my Savior, but I'm still in the world doing the nonsense and trying to get dung in my water bottle. It's a new water bottle. I'm trying to put the dung back in. I'm not happy, because then I got to drink out of it.
Yes.
I'm not happy at all. Miserable I am.
Yes.
And other people are miserable too, because they don't want to have anything to do with me. And you're wondering, why nobody wants me to be my friend? Only the dung people want to be my friend. They all got dung water, but they're happy with me. But these people, no, they got clean water, but they're not very happy with me. Spirit's conviction.
Amen.
Spirit's conviction. The writer to the Hebrews, we're not going to go there, in chapter 8, verse 10, takes Jeremiah straight out, the quotation from Jeremiah, and explains exactly what they said. They were waiting for Jesus to show up so that we can be transformed. That's what it means to be born again. A new creation. New creation? What? Nicodemus had that idea, right? In John's Gospel chapter 3 when he met Jesus. He didn't say it out loud, but he was saying, "You're a lunatic, man. What do you mean born again? I'm like old. How can I go back into the womb again and be born in?" And then Jesus had explained, "No, wait. What is body, flesh. What is spirit, what is water, spirit is born of a spirit. It's a new creation in the same old body, though." So becoming a new creation gives us a few properties. You see, this skin, flesh, bone, muscle that we have is made up of, well, on this planet, and I'm going to throw in a little bit of science here, just a little bit, carbon. We say we are a carbon-based life form. Carbon is an element, is a chemistry, it's a chemical compound, and it permeates everything that we have. Wood is carbon, my body is carbon, so is yours. The glasses we have are carbon, here's carbon, everywhere is carbon. So what happens to carbon? Well, because it's of the earth, when we die, we throw our bodies in the ground, and it goes back and gets recycled. Carbon. We are a carbon-based life form. The resurrected body that Jesus came out of when he was resurrected is not a carbon-based body. Indestructible. Will not perish, the Bible says, right? Is going to live forever. So God fills us with the Spirit so that we will be able to start the practice of going to live forever. We still have to die for sure, because it says, right? This body has to perish, our spirit's going to live forever, and God is going to give us a brand new body. But the first point is the Holy Spirit has to be able to live in Bezalel's life, right? The shadow of the Almighty. What does the Bible say about the next thing? Is he filled him with the Holy Spirit? The next one was wisdom, right? And what is, how does the Bible define wisdom? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So it is healthy to fear judgment. There's nothing wrong. Oh, we're Americans, we don't fear anything. Yes, that's true. But you should, as an American, I should fear judgment. It's a healthy fear. Why? Because God has said so. You better, because that's the beginning of wisdom. Bezalel understood that concept, that there is a judgment. And it's good to fear the Lord. The beginning of wisdom. That's why it's better to live under the shadow of the Almighty, like his name says. So even before he can be an artist and start to glorify God, he has to have the wisdom of God. Now what does the New Testament say about wisdom? James chapter 3 verse 17. James chapter 3 verse 17. What does it say there? The wisdom of God, right? The wisdom is coming from where? Above. It's coming from above. It's first of all pure, peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others, full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism, is always sincere. It almost reads like the fruits of the Spirit there. And it is. It is not about me anymore. Amen. Wisdom is what? I got to fear God, get right with God. He fills me with the Holy Spirit. Now what's my job? Others, where does it say? Peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. Shows no favoritism. I'm supposed to have no favoritism here in this room. And the point is, I have to lead others to Christ, to be able to show them. We saw that in a song that we sang, being salt and light. On this planet, in place of God. We're supposed to reflect God's values, because that wisdom is coming from above, and God's filling Bezalel with that wisdom. Same thing with you and me. God fills us with the Holy Spirit and with wisdom. Coming from above, not my wisdom. No. Coming from above, yes. In righteousness. And then you might say, well, God, you know what? I really don't have that in me. Can you give it to me? Well, God says, sure. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, okay, it's not there, huh? If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, because God gives generously to all without finding fault. So that's not a problem. There's no excuse for us. God gives us wisdom generously. So the first point was God filled him with the Holy Spirit. Second point was God filled him with wisdom to understand that what? That yes, it has to come from above. It has to be of God. It has to be of all those qualities that we listed. Righteousness, peace-loving, yielding to others. That's wisdom. And then the third point was what? Understanding. How do you distinguish that? I had to look up the Hebrew word to Moses when he wrote Exodus. What exactly does he mean? The Hebrew word used for the word understanding is ta'un. And I had to look up, what does that mean? In English, we would use the word insight, discernment, prudence. Those are some of the words that we use to describe the Hebrew word understanding. We just use the word understanding, but it really means, you know, specific, some sort of insight or discernment. And it's very interesting, I was looking up this word. So these two words, wisdom and understanding, in the Old Testament, always travel in a pair. For the most part. In Proverbs, almost 100% they're always together. Wisdom and understanding, wisdom and understanding. Discernment. Bezalel was able to get discernment. What does that discernment mean? So look at the chronology of his life. So you had in Exodus chapter 31 here, God fills him with the Holy Spirit, grants him wisdom and understanding. So that means there is a before and there is an after. Right? There is a point in Bezalel's life. He wasn't born from the mother's womb with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding. No, God had to fill him, which means that from zero, date of birth, day one, let's say, till that point of time was a pre-filling time, old creation. Right? From this point onwards, till the end of his life, was a new creation. Bezalel understood that because it has implications. Before God filled him, he was doing certain things. After God filled him, he is now obligated to do certain things. We saw that already. God wanted him to be a metal worker and a wood carver, and he knew what he had to do because God had told him so. New creation. Now let's go to the Ephesians chapter 5 verse. What does Paul talk about? Be very careful then. He's talking to brothers, not to sisters, not to unbelievers, believing people in the church at Ephesus. Be careful then how you live. Not as, here's the word, wisdom, right? What's the opposite of wisdom? Being unwise, that's what he's saying. Or as, he's going to use the word fools, it's coming. Not as unwise, as wise individuals. 16, making the most of every opportunity. And here we go. Understand what the will of the Lord is. You are before, like Bezalel, and you have an after. You just can't do anything you want. Before Christ, you could. But after Christ, you have to understand what the will of the Lord is. What am I supposed to do, God? That's understanding, right? Do not get drunk on wine, verse 18, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because later on in a different verse, and it's not there up there on the screen, in Romans, Paul talks about as many are as led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So if you want to just have the Spirit of God in you, but you want to do whatever you want, well, that's not going to work. Because the qualification to be a child of God is to be led by the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit of God. So Paul is encouraging believers here to understand what God's will is in their life. We have to have insight or discernment, understanding. Understand what God wants you to do in your life. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. There we go. For we are His workmanship. We are a new creation that God did in our life, right? Created in Christ Jesus. For what? For good works. Getting there, that's your good works. After Christ comes good works, not before. Before, it was menstrual cloth. Dung. Yes. Rubbish. Amen. After Christ comes good works.
Yes.
Look at what I put in red there. Which God prepared beforehand that we should, must, have to walk in them. What does that mean? I'll give you an example. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam was placed in the garden, right? Yes. And the rules were very few. What did God say? You can eat any tree in the garden.
Yes.
Apple, mango, banana, peach, anything you want. Okay? Just don't touch the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. Right? That's the only two rules. So Monday morning, if Adam and Eve, they wanted to have breakfast, lunch, dinner, all together at one shot, they could have said what? What should we eat today? I don't know. We had bananas in the morning. Let's do apples today. Is it wrong morally? No, not wrong. How about a mango? Sure, let's have a mango. Let's chop up a mango and do a puree. A smoothie. Yeah, we'll have a mango smoothie today. Tomorrow we'll do apple smoothie. And then we'll do kale and spinach, you know, throw that in. There is nothing wrong. They had freedom to eat whatever they want.
Yes, yes.
Right? God would show up and they'd have a chat with God. That's the old man. Now, let's turn the tables. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You are in the Garden of Eden. You have all the fruit trees. Which one should you eat? Do you have the freedom to eat whichever one, apply this rule on top of that. For as many, and I'll throw another one, as many are as led by the Spirit of God, those are the children of God. And then what does this one say? This verse that we just said, God prepared beforehand, even before we were born, that we should walk in them. So you apply those two laws now to the same question. Adam, you can eat whatever you want. What is our response as a new creature supposed to be? Lord, what do you want me to eat? Is the only answer. You can't say, God, I feel like eating a mango today. Can't, it's wrong. Feelings don't count anymore. Hollywood says that, feel, do what you want, find yourself. Rubbish, dung, I tell you. Because the Bible says, you cannot do what you feel. You're going to end up just like Mario and his friend Luigi in the opera. Yes. I don't know any other character, right? From Italy. That's what he's talking about. Be led by the Spirit of God. Have that understanding. Bezalel and Bezalel understood that. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. I am no longer my own, says Paul. I belong to Him. Do you belong to Him? Can you ask God, Lord, what's for lunch today? You tell me.
Yes.
Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What kind of job should I have? Who should I marry? Yes. Every facet and area of our life has to come under the subjection of Jesus Christ. That's the meaning of a new creation. Otherwise, like some erroneous songs, Jesus is just my best buddy friend. He is not Lord and Master. Is He your Lord and Master? We Americans don't like the word slavery, but in the Bible it says you are a slave to Christ.
Amen.
What does that mean? He's not a best friend. If you're a slave to Christ, He is your Master.
Amen.
If He says jump, you got to say, how high, Lord? Right? That's what it means. Otherwise, we're just living American garbage lives with dung water bottles. Who?
TikTok. Tell me what about I did today. I ate a mango today. Oh, look at me. Influencer, celebrity, you want to be one, right? Be a slave to Christ. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes. Number one. Number two, have wisdom.
Yes.
The fear of God.
Yes.
Number three, have understanding, discernment. That I am not my own. I am bought with a price. I belong to Him who has given everything for me.
Yes. Hallelujah.
That's what it means to have discernment.
Yes.
Wisdom, discernment. It's not the dictionary meaning. It's what the Bible says. Bezalel understood God's plan and purpose for his life. He didn't question it. He didn't say, you know what, God, no, I don't feel like doing it. I want to work with mud and clay. No, God said, you got to work with metal and wood. Okay, I'll work with metal and wood. That's what Paul meant. The last two points, knowledge and skill set, right? Paul kicks it up a notch. So knowledge, as we understand, and as the Bible also teaches, is something that we can actually have, our natural ability. Some of us have natural abilities too, like we talked about, being a musician, right? It's a natural ability. The knowledge of being able to know how to do these things and the skills that go with it. Some of it can be acquired too, we talked about that. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 17. Paul actually goes one step further. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, now he's talking to Ephesians, may give you, here we go, here's the five things, that he lists them right there. The Holy Spirit, boom, number one. Wisdom shows up, right? Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, and there's that word revelation. What does revelation mean? Insight or discernment. Holy Spirit, wisdom, understanding. All three are listed there in verse 17. So that you may know him better. Know, what is that? Knowledge of who? Of him.
Yes.
There's that fourth point right there. Holy Spirit, wisdom, understanding, the knowledge. Now this is not academic knowledge about how wood works and how metal works. This is the knowledge of God. Paul is kicking up even further. 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, verse 19, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And here it gets interesting here. That power that God gives to us, is what he's saying, is the same mighty strength, verse 20, that he exerted when he raised Jesus from the dead. Raising a dead man to life. With an incorruptible, imperishable body. Jesus also raised Lazarus to life again, the widow's son, and then the third one was Jairus' daughter, right? There were three people that God, Jesus, raised from the dead to life. But all those three died again. But God raised Jesus from the dead, never to die again.
Amen.
And that power is at work in you and me.
Amen.
That's what Paul is saying. Yeah. That's the knowledge. Now you have a skill set. Go with that knowledge. That power that God is giving you. And here we are kind of like Luigi and Mario stealing carts and robbing banks. God is giving us this power. That's what Paul is trying to say. Be careful with the time that you have, dear brother, dear sister. That's what he's saying. Be filled. What's in summary? Let's go down to the summary slide here. We've got all the four points. In summary, next one. Yeah. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the wisdom that comes from above. Be filled with discernment, insight, understanding that only God can give. That makes us a new creation. And then, Paul reminds us, find out what God wants you to do.
Amen.
What fruit tree you need to eat from today.
Amen.
be led by the Spirit so that you are a child of God.
Yes.
And use those skills and abilities that God has given you to glorify God.
Mm-hmm.
That is what's going to make you a celebrity influencer in God's eyes. Now I'm going to end with this example. In the Bible, many examples are there. There was one guy who was mentioned from way back when. I think it's in Genesis. You don't have to turn your Bibles. Genesis, I think it was chapter 4. Yes, Genesis chapter 4. He's one of the descendants of Cain. His name is Jubal. Okay? Here's a small verse. He had the innate, he was an influencer and celebrity artist of his day. The Bible says so. He had skill in all stringed instruments and wind instruments. Do you know any of his compositions? Zero. You know why? He was not a believer in Jesus or God. David, musician, a few stringed instruments, he plays the harp. Do we know any of his compositions? A boatload of them. See that? Two musicians. One was a rock star of his day, had TikTok videos. We don't know anything that he played. Nothing. David, forever. We sing his songs. Praise. All the praise songs that we have, authored by David. We put new tunes to it, new drum beats to it. God used his skill for his glory. Why? Because David was willing to be filled with the Spirit, willing to have wisdom. Now, granted, he made mistakes, for sure. But he still was a new creation. Because God testified about him. A man after my own heart. And he said that when? Before he sinned. Not after he sinned. Think about it. Here is David, a man after my own heart. Before he did all those murder, adultery, everything else that he did. God still had that to say about him. So God's testimony about us is the most important. That's the only thing that'll stand when we stand before Him. We must stand, of course, in the blood of the Lamb. That's what we sang, right? You have overcome. We stand in the covering of the blood of the Lamb by the word of our testimony that You, Lord, have saved us. That's the only thing that will help us overcome. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for the life of Bezalel. We thank You, Lord, that You filled him with Your Spirit. You gave him wisdom. You gave him understanding. Lord, You gave him knowledge. Even before You came, he did not know You. But he was longing, looking for the day, just like the Old Testament prophets were, looking for the day of Jesus. And You gave him the skill set so that he could be used by Your hands for Your glory. And Lord, therefore we commit ourselves into Your hands, Lord. Lord, lead us with Your Holy Spirit.
Yes, Jesus.
Help us to discern. Help us to choose wisely. Lord, we pray that You would fill us every day with Your Spirit, Your wisdom, Your understanding, knowledge of You. That the power that raised Jesus from the dead is at our disposal so that the skill set that You have given us can be used for Your glory. Lord, help us to be careful with our time.
Yes.
To understand what Your will is for our lives. You have already preordained the works that we are supposed to do. We do not have the freedom to do what we want, and we praise You for that. We praise You, Lord, for that. We thank You, Lord, that we are bought with a price, and so we give our lives into Your hands. Show us, Lord, help us to discern Your will for our lives. We commit ourselves this morning time into Your hands, offering ourselves and this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.